So I'm going to ask you to take out your sermon notes there. And also, whether you have your Bible today or whether you have your smartphone with your Bible app, if you want to get that ready, we're going to be in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 today. There are some Bibles in some of the seat pockets between the seats. You could also go there. And I do want to encourage you in a time where obviously you can be reading the Word through your electronic device, so it doesn't mean if you don't come in with a Bible in your hand, doesn't mean you don't love the Word of God, but I do want to encourage you, man, cherish the Word of God and always come as a student every Sunday morning. So we're going to be in Mark chapter 4, and we're going to be talking about what is a disciple according to Jesus. Last week, as we did our kickoff service, we were saying how every domino, when it gets in line, can create this incredible movement and move so much more than what it itself can do individually. And yet, when we talked about the Great Commission is this call for us to line up together and knock down the gates of hell and allow the glory of Jesus Christ to come in. So one of the questions is, when God's lining us up, what does that look like? What is he accomplishing in us? So I want to talk this morning about what a disciple is. Because we're not talking about deciders, and we're not talking about attenders, and we're not talking about people who are like okay with Christianity. We're talking about a disciple, because Jesus called us to go and make disciples. And so as we begin to line up together, and as we are praying as a church, that the Lord would grant us 70 new disciples by May 1st, 2016, our anniversary Sunday, we're saying, what is that? What are we all lining up to accomplish? You know, some people hear of 70 disciples, say, Pastor John, that's not all that inspiring. Like, 70? Really? That's all we're doing? It's like, hey, if we got 70 new, real disciples in our church, that would flip our church on its ear. Because what a real disciple is. And so I want to encourage you today, you know, we all come from a lot of different places this morning, and there are a lot of things on our hearts. I know as a dad right now in the middle of back to school and all that, I'm going crazy just trying to keep up with life right now. And so we can come in here, and sometimes we can forget what we're lined up for, but the premise of everything we've been talking about is this, that there is great joy in the Great Commission. And when we put that first in our lives, everything else comes into focus and everything else thrives. And so we want to look at this call of the Great Commission, and we want to look at what is a real disciple. And we see that in Mark chapter 4. There are only two teaching sections in the Gospel of Mark. So we know if there's a teaching moment in Mark that Mark wants us to know something really, really important. And this same story is in Matthew 13 and Luke 8, so it's something that the Gospels emphasize. And a matter of fact, if you look at this, and we're going to read the whole passage in a second, but I want you to see what Jesus himself says about this parable we're about to read. He says in verse 11 and 13, he says, Jesus told them, the secret of life in the kingdom of God has been given to you in this parable. And in verse 13, he says something even crazier. He says, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable if you don't understand this one? So this parable is important. Jesus is saying that if you don't understand this parable, you're not understanding anyone I ever teach. And so I want to encourage you this morning to really ask you personally, ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you about what Jesus is saying, the living Jesus right now by his Spirit is saying to each one of us about the secret of the kingdom of heaven and the call of each one of us for disciples. It's Mark chapter 4. Why don't you stand in honor of the reading of the Lord's Word? We don't do it every Sunday. Why don't we do it this Sunday? And let's thank the Lord for this word and just follow along. I'm going to be reading out of the NIV. Starting in verse 1. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake, and the crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. So, in other words, there's a big crowd in front of Jesus. There's a crowd. There's not necessarily a bunch of disciples around, but there's a crowd. So Jesus is speaking going to speak something to them about what the difference of the people in the crowd are. Verse 2, he taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain." Verse 8, "Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, and even 100 times." That's the wow moment of this parable, because what scholars will say is the greatest, a really amazing harvest in those times would be considered sevenfold. Tenfold would be ridiculous. No one could imagine a 30. So even though there's all these soils that are rejecting the seed, oh, the soil that get it has supernatural results. Verse 9, "Then Jesus said, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" Reference to Isaiah chapter 6 about those who will hear and those who will not hear the truth, that Isaiah was called to proclaim the truth that God were all called to proclaim. Verse 10, "When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parable. He told them, 'The secret of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving,'" here's the words from Isaiah, "'and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven.' Then Jesus said to them, 'Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows what? The word.'" Not some super cool thought, not some really clever idea. He sows the word, the scripture. Verse 10, "Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, they hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution come, when unfavorable circumstances arise because of the word, they quickly fall away." Verse 18, "Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of life," everybody say the word worries, say worries. "Worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and desires for other things come and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown." Lord Jesus, your word is granted to us, and it has in it the secret of life, the true understanding of life, and what joy and what peace and what forgiveness and healing, where they all come from. It's here, O God. Lord, you said in your word that you give it in parables, because if a heart really wants to know, it will listen and it will ask and it will seek. And just even though it doesn't necessarily understand, it will seek after the Holy Spirit for understanding. Its heart will be ready to receive the word. But a heart that's hard, you speak in parables, because if you're not interested, then as you said in your word, you don't cast pearls before swines. You don't cast the most important thing in all the universe to know. The most important thing in all the universe to know, life in the kingdom of God. If people don't want to hear it, if they discount it, if they reject it, if they mock it, then you give them parables, because they're not going to understand anyway, because they don't want to understand. So Lord Jesus, find us as people who, because of your grace and mercy, because of what you've done on the cross, are worthy to understand the parable. Speak to us by your Holy Spirit and give us nothing less than the joy of the purpose we live and breathe for, the Great Commission. In Christ's name we pray, and everyone said, amen. You may be seated. Wow. We really got to work on this thing. I can't get it to do what I want it to do anymore. Let's try it again. One more. Yes, there we go. There are four types of people who are given God's word. Please understand, nothing produces spiritual life in somebody outside the scripture. You've got to love the word of God, because the word of God is the only hope for life for anybody else. We don't want to just tell people scriptures without being an incarnational experience of the scripture. We want to show them love and compassion. But it's only the word of God that saves somebody and rescues them. And so this scripture is about what happens when you give the word of God to somebody. What can you expect? The farmer sows the word of God. Most Bible teachers would tell you, although we naturally are inclined to think of as the Father God sowing the seed, that it's just as doable. It's every Christian sowing the seed. It's whoever sows the seed, whoever's out giving the word of God. This is what you can expect as you give out the word of God. And so we see in here four types of people that we have to understand. The first I would call the distracted. There's a few things you could call this group of people. But their seed along the path. And in ancient Israel, what would happen is the way farmers farmed their land and got to all the areas of the land, and since it's an agricultural society and people have to get places between all the harvest, I mean, in every field, there are like 3-foot paths in different sections, because that's how the farmer gets around to each of the plants. And so if he's broadcasting, he's got the sack of seed and he's throwing out. How many people aerated this weekend? How many people need to aerate this weekend? I don't know. Okay. We're throwing out the seed. Some of it goes to the path on the side. See, that path, it's not interested in receiving anything. It's hard and it's worn. And the scripture says when that seed comes on there, just like when my grass seed goes onto my driveway, all right, well, there's nothing happening with that. And the birds are just going to come and pick it up. What's there is going to be taken away very quickly. This kind of person, in their heart, they're distracted. And we're talking about Jesus is, so when you talk to this person, you know who they think Jesus is? They think Jesus is irrelevant. He's not important. You know, see, like a path that's worn out, their path themselves in their heart, it's set. It's hardened. And they get to where they need to go without Jesus. Or so they think. And because of that, nothing spiritual ever really holds in their heart. And it's just so filled with the world's voices and solutions. I've got a good friend who's super successful. He's a VP at a major investment firm in Richmond. This is not you, Pat and Rourke. You're a VP too, but that's not you. And the only time. And, you know, I've witnessed to him a bunch of times, and we talk, and he likes me, and he likes who I am, and he likes how thoughtful I am to him, and things like that. So I'll try to share scripture. You know, there's only two times he's ever called me to pray. One is when that sign on 95 said that, you know, the end of the world was sometime in September last year. He's like, is that right? Is that, you know, should I be worried? You know. And then the other time was when his brother came down with cancer. And man, we prayed, and he appreciated those prayers and things. And those are good moments, but you know, besides that, nothing sticks. Because his path is kind of set. It's kind of working. I'm getting to where I need to go. And so he's just always distracted by other things. And so that word, that's the true word, never really stays in him. The second person I like to call the decider. Boy, we, in pop Christianity, man, we love the decider. We celebrate the deciders. Right? We celebrate decisions. Now, to be a disciple, you do need to make a decision, but there's way more to being a disciple than making a decision. There's way more than walking up to an altar and say, make a decision, say I do, and get married, and then walk away and act like you're not married anymore. It's not just about a decision. And so the decider is someone who the Word of God, the real Scripture, falls on a rocky place. It says they hear the Word, and they once receive it with joy. You know? But since they have no root, they last only a short time. And when trouble or persecution comes because of the Word, I don't like your Christians, like the Word doesn't deliver for them what they want in a hard moment, they quickly fall away. So a person who is a decider, you know what they think of Jesus? Boy, Jesus is a great help. I love Jesus. I love me some Jesus, especially when I'm in a tough spot. You know what? I love God's love. I love God's mercy. I love God's grace. Holiness, not so interested in. But man, I love his love, because that's an awesome thing when I'm in trouble. And see, they don't have any root. They don't have any depth in the Word of God, in God's character and his mission. It's a very self-centered decision for them. You know, it's personal salvation, but it's not supposed to be self-centered salvation. It's a personal gospel, but it's not supposed to be a self-centered gospel. We are thankful for the healing and the joy and the rescue. We're thankful to go to heaven and not spend eternity in hell. We're thankful for all those things, but it's not just about those. And people who decide, they just kind of, they treat the gospel like my life insurance policy or my car insurance. I don't even remember what that thing's about. I just know I got it. And every once in a while, I got to renew it. That's about it. That's all I know about it. And there are a lot of people, they treat their Christianity like that. Yeah, sometimes I made that decision. What's going on with it? No clue. But I got it. It's someplace. I got some paper someplace. Says I got it. And this person, oh, the decider. Oh, you know, now all of us, we struggle with being deciders. Because in lots of ways of life, you know, we're just ruled by circumstances, by people, and man, we live out a crisis cycle in life, because it's all good when it's good, but it ain't all good when it's bad. That's just how it goes. I'll never forget one of the girls I was dating in high school, and I liked her a lot, and she came over to my house or something like that, and you know, afterwards, kind of checking out what Dad thought, said, Sean, you know, she okay, but she a crisis person. That relationship right there, always going to have a crisis. Because that's the only way she knows to live. Boy, was he right. Wow. Okay. One for Dad. Okay. You try to have a relationship with a person who's a crisis person in life, and the only way they know how to find out if you love them is by having a crisis and you prove it again. Whew. That gets tiring really quick. But you know what? A decider is a person that they make a decision and they go off, and then they come on back. And then they go off. And then they come on back. And man, we're spending a lot of time around the same mountain. A lot of time around the same mountain. Because all we've made is a decision. We haven't repented. We haven't changed our ways. So then you get this seed that falls among the thorns. These are divided people. Oh, Lord, for a church of undivided people. Oh, Lord, for a pastor who is undivided. We've got to work on this one. Because, see, like the seed sown among the thorns, we hear the word, but the worries of this life, let me tell you what, you worry about what you worship. What you worship, that's what you worry about in life. Things you don't worship, you ain't worrying about them. But man, what you worship, what's your idol in your life, what you care about, what you think, this has got to work for my life to be good, yeah, you worry about that thing a lot. And the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires of other things come in and choke the word, and it's just unfruitful. Man, it's there. There's no fruit. No fruit. And see, a person who's divided, oh, here we go. You know who Jesus is? Jesus is absolutely 100% important. Jesus is an important part of my life. That's a divided person. See, we're so busy with too many good things. We worry about what we worship. And here's how you know if you're that divided. You always got to refocus. Every 3 months, let me get back to the Word. Oh, let me remember to pray. oh, I probably should start, you know, giving again. We just always got, we're always on the refocus kick. And we have no long-term progress in ultimate kingdom purpose and joy because our heart is divided. And so we've really got to say, Lord, you know, what do you want to do with all these things? Because there is one more soil. Some Bible scholars say technically there's three more. There's 30, there's 60, 100. It kind of all depends where you want to go with that. But see, there's this thing called a disciple. And they're good soil, and they do these things. They hear the word, they accept it, and they produce a crop. They are part of the Great Commission, and what they've been commissioned to do, they get done. Not because they've got the power, not because it's in their power to do it, but because they are faithful servants to the one who has the power. And so they produce, and like I said, in every parable, Jesus usually has a like, what kind of moment? And the what moment is how much these guys produce. There's no way. This is supernatural what Jesus is talking about. Nobody in Israel has a field that's harvested 100-fold what was sown. What are you talking about? No way. This is supernatural. You may have to run through three to get to four, but if you get to that fourth soil, man, watch out. Revolution is about to happen. It certainly happened in 12. So what you have to know is that a person who's a disciple is the exact opposite of the first three, and actually, the exact opposite helps us define what a disciple is, because we know it's not a distracted person, we know it's not just a decider, and we know it's not a divider. So by those three things, we begin to piece together, what is a disciple? What is Jesus saying about a person who truly knows him, is on mission with him, and experiencing the great joy and the power of the Holy Spirit because they're on mission with the Savior? Well, it's what we talk about every week here. It's what our church is built on. You know, when we say making Jesus the center of everyday life, all we're doing is saying in a different way, Jesus is Lord. He's just Lord. And so a person who's a disciple, they don't think Jesus is irrelevant. They don't think Jesus is of great help. They don't think Jesus is important. They think Jesus is the absolute center and source of life. And I would be absolutely crazy to do anything but make sure that Jesus and me, that I'm doing exactly what Jesus wants done. Because he's life. He's not an important part of my life. He's all of it. And so the very things about worshiping faithfully, living biblically, I mean, that's just what this parable is all about. You see, the disciple hears God's word. He's hearing God's word. He's seeking in God's spirit and direction. He's not like the path soil, because the path is hard and set. It's not open. It's not soft. It doesn't want to receive anything. So what is a disciple? The disciples, they often, oh man, pliable heart, always teachable, always wanting to know more of what God has. Its path isn't set. God can take them any way he wants. Not a hard, worn out path. Well, he's not just, or she's not just hearing God's spirit and direction, but she's accepting God's word in a deeper way, because she's not like the parable of the soil on the rocky places. She's got roots. She's digging into God's word. She's getting some depth to her, some character to her. That's what a disciple is. He's someone who's loving biblically. He's got the Bible as the root that gets him through everything he's going through. And of course, it's not divided. You know, a disciple doesn't give God leftovers. A disciple gives God the first fruits of everything in their life. Because they're what? They're producing in God's mission. They're a part of it. So they're serving joyfully, because that's what their life's about. You know, if you look at my lawn right now, you can tell how much of a priority I have for my lawn. Doesn't take a genius to figure out, not a very high priority, okay? That's because my passion and my energies are very divided from it. I don't give a lot to it, so I don't see a lot out of it. And we've been given the mission. You can pray for my lawn. Please pray for my lawn. We're producing. And then a disciple, and it just kind of follows the logic, it's uncompromising. A disciple is uncompromising priorities for maximum fruitfulness. Just talked to my daughter Rachel, and she's, you know, a few weeks into school, and now she's got all these chances for all these clubs, and she's like, oh, they want, you know, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to do this. I said, look, Rach, I said, to do something great for God, you got to say a lot of no's to good things. It's It's not you're leading wisely. You're thinking through what's most important. And so there are a lot of good opportunities, but good doesn't make you decide to do it. Because it's good doesn't mean it's what you do. You got to say no to a lot of good things in order to be fruitful for God. And so you got to make that decision. That's a person who is a disciple. This is who Jesus is looking for. And so I want us to think through this a little bit, because you are going to go to people who are distracted. Right? Hey, nice Jesus is shirt. Please sit down and explain it to me right now, because I'm really open and just want to listen. We'll totally understand you. Wore my Jesus is shirt to soccer practice the other day. Had some dudes swearing up a storm right next to me. And I'm thinking, nothing. No phase whatsoever. He did say his name a few times, so, but that's about it. I was like, wow, okay. We're going to be among people who, we're going to have all, I mean, Jesus said, go and make disciples of all people, right? So you're going to find people in all sorts of attitudes towards Jesus. He says, go, and I kind of paraphrase there, make disciples of all people. So that's what our year is about. You see, when someone's distracted, what do you have to get them to do? Focus. So why are you asking them who Jesus is? You're just getting them to stop and think a little bit about who Jesus is. So we want to just ask the distracted person, who is Jesus to you?
Don't bring that Christianity stuff in here. It's just like, hey, I'm just wondering, what do you think about Jesus? Jesus is really important to me. Just wondering what you think about him.
And so you can just, who's you? We got the website there. We'll take a look at it in a second. The decider. Now, I think there's more to than just asking, who do you think Jesus is? I think the real question is, why do you think Jesus is that? Because let me tell you what, everybody's got a story about why they think Jesus is who it is. Usually, it has to do with some really nasty, can't believe they call themselves a Christian person in their life, if they're not open. Not always, but a lot of times. So I think we want to talk to the decider, and we want to say, you know, not just who Jesus is, but so tell me why. And the whole idea is we just want to touch people with the idea of looking at Jesus, try to lift him up in front of people, but we really want to get to the why. And so that's a little something more than just the, hey, did you see my shirt? You go to the website, here's my wristband, that, you know. It's more than that. It's this call to say, so tell me a little bit more. So let's talk. Let's have coffee. Or let's come to church. We're going to be talking about who Jesus is all in church. And so that's the idea of the visits. The divided, that's what the Great Commission Homes has been about. Man, come on. What gets first in your life? Does Jesus get the leftovers in your house? Or does Jesus get the best in your house? Is he getting the filet mignon? Or is he getting that thing you call beef? All right, what is it? What is he getting in your home? You know, I was talking with the elders, and we were praying the other day, and we were talking about the Great Commission Home. I said, you know, it's interesting, in all the different movements of Christianity, and especially, you know, our church is born in a charismatic movement, and there's some beautiful joy. You know, every movement has its strengths and weaknesses, but I think one thing that happened in the last few years in the church in general, and I think particularly in the charismatic church, is somehow we leapfrog over the house to the church. And we're super excited about what's going on at church. And we should be. I mean, the gates of hell don't prevail against this thing. But somehow we jumped over the house. And we didn't do a good job at our home. We just that wasn't working quite the way we needed to. And so what we've really got to do as Christians say, man, it starts by making sure the lamp is on a stand in my house. And if that happens, man, we'll get a whole bunch of those together and become a city on the hill. So we've actually got a web page that reviews that whole concept for people. And then we want to make new disciples. And the question there is, with whom are you on mission? Because you can't be a disciple and not be with others on mission. So it kind of looks like this. Man, sensitive button. Right there. Can you get me to that next screen, please? I can't get it. One more, please. Yes, no? There we go. So we're on mission, and we want to touch the world around us. We want them to think about Jesus. They're on their path going there. Chesterfest is next Saturday from 10 to 5. We do need some volunteers. You can put this down in your connection card. We do need some volunteers to be at the booth. But what we're asking anybody to do is between 10 a.m. and 5, put the Jesus's T-shirt on and walk through Chesterfest and pray. You want to go have funnel cake too, have at it, all right? But just pray. And we're going to have a big old sign. If I'm understanding where we are, we're going to be like in the center with this big Jesus's sign, like right behind the main stage. So you're going to be able to see it from the main stage. So basically, Chesterfest is brought to you by Jesus's. And so that should be fun. We'll see if that works out, but they'll realize if they realize what they gave us or not. But we'll see. But what we're going to do is just going to plant the seed, right? We're just going to give the word. Who is Jesus? The booth is going to be there, the photo booth. People are going to be able to take pictures and do a bunch of stuff. We could use a few friendly people who can handle a few different types of people to come and help out. Just sign up on your connection card. Hey, I can give 2 hours on Saturday, and I can man the booth because we're going to need some help there. All right, see if I go to the next one. All right, there's the website here. A bunch of you have already been on it. And remember, the thing we said about the website is we're not looking for, like, we're not inside of church just asking for all the pretty Christian answers. We want people to tell us what they really think about Jesus. And, of course, some of them, who knows what they're going to say because it's just fun to fill in the blank. So that's, it's Jesus-is and it's .ag. It's not org, although there is a Jesus-is.org, so that'll work out great if you go there. But that's the one we're using for Chester. And if on this website, if you go to the button called Conversations, and by the way, what we're doing here, and we're still working on this, we're putting stories and testimonies of people, who Jesus is to them. I'm going to share a few things on it. We're also going to put a tab for all the churches in the area. Say, hey, you know what, if you'd like to know more of who Jesus is, you certainly come to our church, but depending on what background you are, there are a bunch of great churches in our area. Go find out who Jesus is, get in the church, and start to understand who he is. But if you go to the conversation tab, you get this, which is you can just search your hashtag Jesus is, no dash on that, Jesus is, and you can get all the different stories about Jesus is that week. And what we want to do is we want to be sharing those stories. What we're asking you to do today and what we're going to ask you to do every Sunday morning is there's going to be a Jesus is section. It'll be a little more clear than it is this week. But if you had some conversation, say, hey, I got to, you know, touch 12 people with Jesus is this week, we want you to put that down because we're actually recording. It's like, God, are we being fruitful servants? Are we getting the job done? If you lead someone to a particular story that you'll see the far right, Dawn and I were just talking about her. She had her Jesus is band on at school, and she had a bunch of students asking her about who Jesus is. And so we want you to do that. This is the website. It's already on your notes. The page for Great Commission Homes, and on it, it has the sermon series we did so people could come and learn about this idea of what does it look like to have great joy in my house through the Great Commission. And then we just, you know, if people are, decides, like, who are you on mission with? Well, we want them to get together like Rekindle the Fire Life Group. Shout out to all you guys again. You're awesome. And they got together this past Friday night right here. And so you can join a life group like theirs and have a great time being on mission together. Or you can join a Wednesday night discipleship group. Those are kind of for a few weeks. We got our men's groups. Elijah House is what you see is just starting as a great discipleship tool for you. To say, I want to know who Jesus is more, and I want Jesus to know me more. I want to kind of give him all that I've got inside of me. So we want to be that together. So that's the goal. That's why we're doing this, Jesus is, because we want to be faithful servants. We want to produce, not in and of ourselves, but we want to at least say we're trying to serve your mission, God. We're asking you to use us, flow through us, move on your behalf as we yield our life to you to advance the kingdom of God. Jesus says, therefore, go and make disciples of all people groups, all nations. But he does finish with a certain word, does he not? He says, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded who? Pastor Sean. Teach them to obey everything Pastor Sean knows. Don't do that. It's you. And so the real question this morning is, where are you? How distracted are you? How much are you? Boy, you know, I was with a group of guys on Wednesday night. I said, hey, we're going to have this time together, but here's the rule. When your words start speaking more than your life is living, zip it. Don't talk on just because you got good answers. If you ain't living it, don't say it. Man, we had some short conversations that night. It was great. We did not run past 8:30. Am I just being a decider? Because, you know what, as a distraction, you know, and the reason I put that down, that the gospel is not about religion. Distractors think, well, for those religious people who want religion as a part of their life, you know, but that's like, no, no, no. Jesus is about life, not religion. He's the person who made you. He's the reason you breathe. He's not some compartment of society. You need to know him. For the decider, it's not just about self-centered peace. I got my sin insurance policy, going to heaven, and going to go out and have a good time. But I got it. Got the policy right here. I can show it to you if anybody asks me a question. And then the divided. You know, here's the tricky one. Jesus is not about making your life better. Can you get an amen for that one? It's not your life he's interested in. He's interested in making his life through you. He wants to make his life through you more. He's not interested in putting your life together the way you want it. He's interested in putting your life together the way he wants it. Because it's about his glory and his honor. Because as a disciple who thinks Jesus is the center, nothing less than Jesus is King of God's eternal and right now kingdom is what you got to know him as. He's King. He's absolute King. We talked about this issue of doing this together. And so we want to take a moment to pray as a church family for a few minutes. But here's what I'd like you to think about. I'd like you to think about, where are you right now? You know, are you a decider or are you a disciple? Are you divided? You know, I can look at the divide and say, but that's the one I got to pray about right now. Because, you know, there's some things that are pulling me too much. I want to be a disciple. But what I want to do is I want to pray together. And the way I want to pray is this. In the moment, we're going to pray. And I'd like a few people who say, you know, Pastor Sean, man, I was that distracted person. Well, guess what? If you were that distracted person, then you're the best person to pray for distracted people. And we're going to have a moment where someone here is going to pray for distracted people. Because, like, I know that one. I'll pray for that one. We have another person who's like, oh man, I did the deciding things for years and years and years. Boy, I was like a really great decider. But I get it. I'm a disciple now. I want to pray for that right now. And then we're going to agree with that person in prayer. Divided. Oh man, I know that struggle. No, you know, I want to pray for that. I want to pray for that one. I want to pray for those that we bring Jesus to, that I bring my life to. Lord, how do we pray over divided people? And ask them to come and know Jesus, to live their life for Jesus. And then we're just going to finish up in prayer. I'm going to ask you to take a moment before we pray just to ask the Lord who you are this morning and who do you need to be. And I'm going to ask if you're someone who's willing to take a moment to pray for one of those that you... that as we're just taking this moment of prayer, you don't got to be looking at me right now if you don't want to. You'd say, hey, I'll lead the prayer for this person or this type of person or that person. We're just going to take a few minutes. We're going to join together. We're going to pray for the harvest and all these different types of people. I'm going to ask if we've got any deacons, current deacons or elders here. Pastor Travis, can you get those boxes of dominoes? We did this last week, the one domino to the next. And I'm going to ask if you're a deacon or an elder, if you come up and grab a box of these. And I want to make sure before you go, take a domino. And if you guys just kind of get some different places. And if you work at a desk, I would love for you to put this domino on your desk at work. Just remember, it's like, hey, I'm part of a movement. I'm part of something that's supposed to connect. And you guys can be in the back, in the front, especially the side door. This is everybody's favorite sneakaway door right there. So just, you can, someone get over there. Get a few people in the back, a few of you, and then a few of you up front.
But I'm hoping when you hold on to one of these diamonds, put it at your work. If you're driving a truck or whatever, pop it on your dashboard someplace. But as you do this, you don't have to pass them out right now. If you just hold on to them, and as people get up, you make a decision to go take one instead of just kind of passively receiving one this morning. All right, so I need two people who are going to pray for the issue of the distracted in the world around us. Who are going to be my two people who are going to pray out loud? So you are making an out loud commitment right now. Who's going to be the two people who are going to pray for those who are just distracted? Need some volunteers. Who's doing it? Come on, church. Who's praying? Thank you, Joe. Would you just stand? And Marvin, just stand right there. Joe, would you just stand up? All right. Joe, you want to start off? Let's agree in prayer. You're going to have to speak nice enough. Pastor Travis, can you help with the mic? And then someone else help out with... Thanks, Anita.
And I'm one that has been a distracted person before. And it's easy for me to get distracted. It's easy for me to forget about you in the day-to-day of everything that we have going on. But I would lift up those folks today that are walking in that and say, take that moment.
Yes.
Make yourself take one moment just to think about your life with your Savior. Because if you take that one moment, everything else that's distracting you, you'll begin to find the focus, because He will be your focus. And that will allow you to begin to focus on the things you need to do during your day. And it will allow you to actually spend that time with Him that, if you're like me, you're forgetting to do a lot. So I lift up everybody here who's walking through that to just remember you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Pray. Let's pray.
Father God, you know I've been distracted, also been a decider, been divided through various phases of my life, looking for your Spirit working in my life to move beyond these three into the discipleship. Before the distracted, having grown up with religion and then moving out on my own, I was so distracted. Wasn't thinking about Jesus at all. Looking back, I know that He was still pursuing me. And even though I was distracted, He was focused on where He was leading me in my life.
Yes.
Father God, we pray for all people who are not disciples, that Your Spirit would waken in their hearts.
Yes.
Father God, that Your power would break through.
Yes, God.
Strongholds.
Yes, God.
And all those distractions.
Yes.
Father God, we know the evil one wants to keep us distracted with even the minor lies, Lord, that don't seem too far off from where You've been speaking.
Help us, God.
We pray for Your Spirit to break through and Your light would shine through all the distractions. Mm-hmm. And even in the haze, Lord, that Your light is what we seek.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. We're going to keep praying. I want you to be thinking about people in your life. I know there's people I was praying for, especially about the distracted issue. As we're praying now for those who are just deciders and just praying about, just saying, Lord, cause both us and others to be disciples. Do I have two people who want to pray for that? Will, you're going to pray? Somebody else? All right. Over here. So, Will, do you want to start off? Be praying, lifting up people. Let's pray together as a church.
Pray for anyone who has fallen under this category of a decider that, Lord, they would choose not to just live for You in these mountaintop, hallmark, picture-perfect moments, but God, even in the valleys, they would understand that this
yes.
initial decision doesn't just apply to these attractive moments, God, mm-hmm. but that
That's right.
there is a permanent choice that doesn't have to be restated yes. every day, but God, that living for you is just an action, and that we would see that not just in these aha moments, but we would see that when our lives aren't in
yes.
the most attractive place, but that God, even in the valleys,
mm-hmm.
that we would
right.
understand that you're in control of all things.
Yes, Lord.
And we never need doubt that. In
yes.
your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Father God, we come before you praying for unity, Lord. You are God of unity and not division. So many times we allow our situations in life, our distractions, our busyness, our children, our husbands, and just the simple things in life to come in between what you have for us, which is unity. We stand back and we don't stick to your word. We get away from our daily routine. Maybe we're the only Christian in that home.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than standing on you, our rock, and standing by your word and battling, knowing that you're by our side, we turn away from you. My very testimony is that I turned away from you, Lord. And by doing so, I've divided not only myself from you, but my entire family. God, help each and every one of us to know that when it comes to unity, we need to be united with you, with our brothers, with our sisters, with our mates, no matter how hard it is. Because if there's unity, there's peace. So in Jesus' name, I rebuke and I cast down any spirit of division. And what I pray for, Lord God, is that you bring unity and that shalom peace and wisdom, and that you open the eyes and the ears and even the hearts of the non-believer, but as well as the believer, as they stray away maybe for a day or for a week, or for their regular hour, not knowing and not realizing the impact that it has upon their own life and upon the lives around them. You've given us a great commission.
Yes.
You've given us a commission not only for the world around us, but to begin in our home.
Yes,
as the word says, me and my house shall be a house of the Lord. How can we help others if we don't stand on your word? So, Father God, I stand on your word, and I pray for every unsaved person, every saved person, every single mom or dad, every child that doesn't know you, and every parent, Lord God, or mother and father that are not living the life, and they're living it divided, and these children are being lost, or they really don't know who Jesus is, because we don't even really know who Jesus is, or we're not shining the light that we should
yes,
be shining.
Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's just another moment. Father, we pray for the divided, dear God. Lord, we ask that you would raise up, dear Lord, a mighty call and a mighty passion in our hearts. Lord, that we would be able to number our days and understand the days that we are given, O God. Lord, not to take for granted, Lord, every moment, every life stage, every part, dear Father. But Lord, we would be as you called us, to deny ourselves, to pick up our crosses, to follow after you. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to every person in this room of a new grace, that they'd be hungry for a new grace. We've heard of the secret of the kingdom. How can we understand any parable if we don't understand that you're not just important, but you're the very center and source of life? How can we understand any parable if we don't understand that you get everything, not just some things? So, Lord, speak to our hearts today, dear God. And as we prepare to go, as we prepare to consider this word and the way that we live it out, we ask that as we go and find someone to get one of these dominoes from today, that it just be a reminder that no matter where we are, and what we're doing, that Father, your Holy Spirit is calling us to line up to do the most important thing, and that is to go and make disciples. We again say very clearly, Lord, we're just servants. We don't have any power in ourselves to, we're not trying to fix people, manipulate people, force people. All we're trying to do, dear God, is plant the seed. Plant the seed. You take care of the life, oh God. Would you stand where you are this morning? Let's pray the Lord's Prayer and the prayer of harvest together. Our deacons and our elders are going to be available, so if you want to also stop by for prayer after things clear out, just hang out and they can take a moment to pray for you. But grab one of these before you finish today. Let's pray the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Lord of the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. We ask you to send out workers into your harvest field, and cause us to go also. You make sure that you leave your connection card on your seat completed today, and as you go, whether you want to pick up a Great Commission home magnet and make that decision, you can do that out in the foyer, or let us know how we continue to walk with you. God bless you as you go.
Measured the hills from the mountains.